Number two is a resolution by Supervisors Biddle, Johnson, Dmitrievich, Harris, and Wyshon to seek modifications in Milwaukee County and the State of Wisconsin job application procedures to increase the number of job opportunities available for persons with prior convictions. The Committee on Personnel referred this to Corporation Council on a vote of 5-2.
Supervisor Biddle, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm back like I never left. I'll explain to you the resolution and then go into why I think it's important after I give you a brief explanation. But basically, the resolution is to ban the box, per se. On our online application, we ask about criminal records and pasts and things of that nature. And this legislation will enable the Human Resources Director and Corp Counsel to confer and talk about a legal process that protects the county, but also move forward to presenting a plan back to the Personnel Committee to ban that box on our online applications. It will also, there's an amendment forthcoming by one of the supervisors on the committee that will amend it so that not only it comes back to report to the Personnel Committee, but it will actually come back before the Personnel Committee so they can vote it up or down or have other additional information and other changes if they see fit. It also goes to the state to petition the state to do the same thing for all public sector governments, including themselves, and private sector organizations. And it also, in the amendment, it will also lobby against the new law being circulated by Representatives Clayfish and Senator Darling that will give employers the right to discriminate or terminate based on an ex-felon's criminal past, even if that record was pardoned. So it's a very multi-layered resolution at the county level. And just for full disclosure, we have a decentralized human resources department, which every department acts in its own silo and does their own human resources operations. Currently, we do not discriminate against ex-felons within our process because the folks who do the interviews never see that actual part of the online application. And maybe I didn't explain that enough on Friday. The point that it's important to remove the box completely is because the applicant does not know that. And so, effectively, when an applicant sees an application and they have to disclose that information, it discourages them from actually applying for the job. And that's why I think it's important to remove the box completely. And essentially, if the human resources process does not include that information to the interviewing person, the person who's doing the interviewing, then why do you need it at all? If it's not even being disseminated to the person that's actually doing the interviewing for the job, why do you even need the box to begin with? That's a question that folks need to ask themselves. One of the supervisors at the Personnel Committee asked me, was there any data available to show the discrimination? And no, I don't have any data. I don't know if there's ever been a study to show how ex-felons are discriminated against. But I think that we all can make the intellectual leap, and I think that we all understand situations and people and the fact that there is a stigma when you make a mistake in society, when you commit a crime, when you commit a felony, and that your past does haunt you, and our criminal justice system is not very rehabilitative, is not very restorative, and that we have high unemployment in African American and Hispanic communities because we have also a high level of recidivism and ex-felons and criminals in those communities. And so it's not hard to connect the dots and see that folks with criminal pasts are being discriminated against. And when you actually talk to the people who have been searching for jobs for years, who wake up every day trying to find employment so they can be a productive part of society, one of the things that they say is that as soon as they see that box, it's daunting. It's like the only thing I could probably parallel to is if you have bad credit and you want to do a credit check and you always have a sense of apprehension or tension knowing that that credit check might not come back the way you want it so you can establish credit and move on with your life. It's the same thing as if I would assume if you're an ex-felon. You see the box and, it paralyzes you and discourages you and you think that you don't have any hope. And that's the biggest thing, is it's trying to give people hope in a time of economic recession, in a time where we do more punitive things than rehabilitative. to let folks know that in Milwaukee County, we're going to ban this box so that if an applicant comes online to apply for a job, they don't see it, and they feel encouraged to that they might actually gain meaningful employment. And then when you have more folks, when as a society, if we're encouraging and limiting the barriers that people face when it comes to obtaining work, that's when you see crime go down. That's when you see poverty being eradicated, because it's all about economics. It's all it's about. It's about people having family-supporting jobs, access to health care, and being productive members of society. But you can't be punitive and discriminate against folks and make it hard for them to move on with their lives and then turn around and say, you know, what's going on? Why are things the way that they are? And so I want Milwaukee County, even though we are a leader in the fact that we don't discriminate with our actual interviewing process, I also want us to be a leader in taking this box away. And maybe the city of Milwaukee does it, and maybe other municipalities do it, and maybe the state does it, maybe other private organizations do it, like Johnson Controls. And so that's the reason why it's important. I don't know what happened on personnel. I know that everybody has the right to vote the way that they see fit and to represent their district. But one of the concerns was the fact that they wanted to understand the legal ramifications that this could cause. That's why in the resolution it has HR working with Corp Counsel to do the exact same thing. So in the fact, you don't have to refer it because they're already going to be doing the whole process in the resolution. And so, I thought that I might have solved that concern with it coming back to personnel for it to be voted up or down, so you can truly have a say-so in what process HR and Corp Counsel bring back. So I'm asking this committee to reconsider what personnel did, because effectively it's doing the same thing in the resolution. As you can see in the whereas clauses on 45, this does not change the fact that this does not change state law. So law enforcement can still conduct their checks. We still have the Wisconsin caregiver law. Offenses that are substantially related to the physician are still on the table. So there's nothing changing with the state law. It's really just removing the box and having a countywide process on how we do this type of process. So it's very important to me. Crime, recidivism, these things are not relegated to one community. But in my district, it's a lot of it. And when you walk the district and you talk to people and they're asking you, look, I just want a job, can you help me find a job? When you go to a door and you're asking somebody for the vote and their first thing is, can you help me find a job? Can I get your car so you can be a reference for me to on my resume? You understand that this is a problem that we need to look at. And this is something that could spur the discussion, start the discussion, and move to bigger, more dramatic reforms to actually be a society that not only punishes those who do wrong, but when you serve your time and when you pay your debt to society, that we as public and private entities will give you a fair chance and give you hope that you might actually obtain a job so you can provide for your family. I'm 30 years old, I'm married, I have two kids. I wake up every day knowing that I contribute to society, that I'm able to provide for my family, and that's a feeling that is unexplainable. So I don't know how it feels to be years and years of unemployed and hustling and doing whatever you got to do to survive because I can't find a job based on something that I did maybe 5, 10, or 15 years ago. So I'm asking for us to be symbolic in our leadership and to ban this box. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to take them.
Supervisor Brazel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think you just struck on it. Is it fair to characterize this as more symbolic than practical in that this ultimately does not deprive the hiring entity of the criminal history?
Right.
It's simply the entry door.
Exactly. It's doing things on the front end. It's taking the process on the front end and doing it on the back end. That's all you're really doing.
And so the background check that would be attendant to any employment procedure would still be employed. The net result
right.
would be criminal history would still be understood.
Still be understood.
Yeah.
You know, it's not taken. It's not taken away the law that affords employers, whether they're public or private. You still would do checks. It's up to the HR and Corp Counsel to come back with the right procedure. That's not my expertise, but they're going to come back with the right procedure that does this effectively, that makes sure that the county is protected, and that the personnel committee will have a final say-so before it goes to the full board. So to answer your question, yes, it is symbolic, but I will say this. I was pretty disappointed on Friday, and I was walking out, and I had a couple of department heads catch me and say, you're doing the right thing. But I also got a phone call from a county employee, and I won't disclose her name. He used to work in the Human Resources Department when they were only doing paper applications. And she remembers having to be at the desk talking to people, encouraging them to apply because they would come in and see that those questions and not want to apply. So on the practical level, there will be an impact. But it is symbolic, and it will start the discussion. And hopefully it will lead to major changes. And I also want to say that that bill that Representative Clayfish and Senator Darling are putting out there for co-sponsorship, that's real. So effectively, we're one of the few states that has these protections that we, quote-unquote, don't discriminate. But they're trying to roll that back completely so that folks can discriminate based on the status of an ex-felon. That's crazy to me. What do you think that's going to do for the recidivism rate? What do you think that's going to do for crime and poverty? Are you even thinking what the ramifications that communities like mine or the 5th District or whatever district might be under due to this type of ridiculous legislation? And so I ask for you to pass this because not only is it the right thing to do, but I think that I've tried to take everyone's concern and build it into this resolution so that it comes back to the personnel committee so that they can have a voice and either refer them back to do something else or to actually pass it through. So, like I said, I was disappointed that it was referred, but I'm hopeful that this committee and that my good faith effort will result in a positive vote this morning.
Supervisor Bradrick,
I did want to have the amendment that I've offered read and move its approval.
Would you read the amendment then, please?
You're moving approval of the resolution and then entering
the amendment.
Thank you. The amendment states, and the following whereas clause after line 18, whereas draft legislation LRB 179/2 being circulated by State Representatives Clayfish and Senator Darling would weaken the current state fair employment law by permitting an employer to bar or terminate from employment an individual who has been convicted of a felony and who has not been pardoned for that felony, whether or not the circumstances of the felony substantially relate to the circumstances of the particular job, and to modify a via further resolve clause on line 58 that the Director of Division of Human Resources shall work the Division of Human Services shall work with the Office of Corporation Counsel as necessary, other county personnel to develop a countywide policy and procedure that provides uniform and mandatory process for conducting pre-appointment background checks for all candidates who have selected for appointment to a county position and shall report with policy to the Committee on Personnel, adding this verbiage for the review and approval, and there, prior to the removal of the questions related to the prior conviction and pending criminal charges from the initial job application, but not later than December 2011, and adding the further be it resolved clause on line 69, be it further resolved that the Director of Division of Intergovernmental Relations is authorized and directed to indicate Milwaukee County's opposition to any legislation, including LRB 1179-2, that would weaken the state fair employment law to make it easier to discriminate against an individual with a felony conviction that is substantially unrelated to the circumstances of the particular job.
Thank you. Chairman Howie, do you have a...
I just want to say that I like the hard work of Supervisor Biddle, but I want to share this with you. A couple of years ago, there was a Journal Sentinel took and presented a model of a young white boy and a young black boy. The young white boy had a high school degree and he had some misdemeanors. The young black boy had a college degree and no misdemeanors. On every time, the young white boy was hired over the young black boy. Now, when you look at the statistical data of 18 to 35, almost 60% of them that are black are unemployed. I don't think it has to do, and I'm not putting any darkness over your effort there. I'm very happy about it, but I don't think it have anything to do primarily with criminal records as much as it has to do with race. And the fact that the economy is also so bad. With all of those factors together, I think that it's a little effort that we'll be able to do with the attitudes of the employer at this time. Now, there was also an article of a employer who hired a African American, and he had some criminal background, and this African American was doing extremely well. Everybody liked him, or whatever. That this employee went as far as Washington D.C. to correct his employee's record and whatever to keep him as an employee. I mean, you have those kind of bizarre situations occur, but primarily the attitude is between 18 and 35 African Americans can't get jobs. I have four boys. They're all African Americans, and of course I am, but they all graduated from different schools outside of the state. None of them are able to come back. They all live outstate of the city of Milwaukee. Can't come back. There's no job opportunities for them. So that's, and you know that young people your age
right.
are not coming back. They're leaving. So the brain power in reference to African Americans in the city of Milwaukee is quickly disappearing because they can't get jobs. And the only thing that's left is those people who have criminal records or those who have not been able to leave or went to school here and wasn't able to leave and whatever, catching hell. What it is between white Americans who get jobs and whatever. And I shared this with, I don't know if Supervisor Prokowski remembered that I shared with him in terms of the faces. You remember I shared it with you? I don't know if you remember the faces. The faces of Milwaukee Journal, they're all who get promotions and jobs are all white. And I've been looking at it for the last 10 years. And you know that, right?
The white people's page.
Right. And it's embarrassing. You got to talk to the journal. It's embarrassing that they take and submit. Not even the Hispanics get on that page. I mean, it's all white. Where they get, where all these great jobs. Well, so when you look at it from that perspective, I hate to put a dark shadow over your efforts, but as an old man, I can tell, look at it from a perspective of saying, hey, what can we do? And if this is the beginning of doing something, I'm willing to support it. But I wanted to share the dark shadow of the concerns and my personal feelings about it, and my kids not being able to come back and what have you. I just wanted to share that with you and what I have observed over the years and whatever. It's a terrible situation. It's not all on possibly racism, but it's also a lot on the economy. But it's got a great deal of, I think, racism involved in not African Americans not getting an opportunity to get jobs. I wish you and your generation as well to correct and change this.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Supervisor DeBrum.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I met with staff about this, and they reiterated some of the things you said that I just want to make very, very clear.
Okay.
If we ban the box, in mm-hmm. other words, they don't check that off in the initial application,
right.
it changes nothing in the end because, I mean, as far as the county's processes
right.
for hiring goes, because even if they check the box now, that information is never shared with the
right.
department head.
Right.
I think the only purpose of that box initially, whether the county realized it or not, was to discourage individuals with felony convictions to apply. So I know somebody referred to this as potentially more of a symbolic type resolution. I actually think this is substantive
mm-hmm.
because while it doesn't change the fact that the background checks will happen for any related job activities, which I totally support, I don't want people convicted of felony child abuse being a child care provider
right.
or monitoring our child, you know,
right.
being hired by our child care bureau, et cetera, et cetera. It doesn't change one iota the knowledge base the county will ultimately have about whether to hire that person related to their criminal status. But I do think it would absolutely dramatically change the the number of individuals who'd be willing to actually apply. And for that reason, I do support it. I think it may, if we mean anything about rehabilitation and really wanting people to not go back into the same behaviors, we have to support that. So I do support it. I do think it's substantive, especially since it protects our rights in the end. Mm-hmm. And let me just say one other thing in relation to what Chairman Holloway just said. White folks are convicted of felonies too, mm-hmm. and I'm a product of my white suburban upbringing, and I got to tell you, a lot of people, if they look at someone who's had a felony conviction versus someone who's not, same skills, same personnel, you know, personable or whatever, they're going to pick the person who's not, and it's in society's interest to level that playing field a little bit better than that. So yeah, I do think race has a lot to do with it, but I think even independent of race, this resolution is not just for African-American felons, it's for all felons,
right.
And the reality is there will be providers who really have no racist issues at all who might turn around and look at the legal piece and say, I don't want to hire them. And I say that as just a gut reaction myself. All things being equal, you tend to hire people who aren't convicted felons. So I support it. I don't know much about the legislation. I almost wish that legislation was a separate resolution coming to the committee, but I'm willing to support the amendment as well, because I do think it's important that this policy and the implementation come back for review and approval. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Supervisor.
Supervisor Sanfilippo, thank you, Supervisor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Supervisor DeBruin touched on the fact that I'm going to vote no against the against the amendment because it's talking about the changes in the state. I don't know a whole lot about them, and I think that a lot of times when things are changes in rules and regulations and things are put on employers to achieve what sounds like a good purpose, they end up having the opposite effect, and they can end up hurting employment. So I did vote to send this to the Corporation Council and Personnel Committee after considering all the things that have been debated and speaking with the sponsor of the bill, sponsor of the resolution. I'm going to change my vote and approve it, because I think that the box probably does serve to intimidate some people from actually putting in an application. My main concern is that we're not going to be hiring people who shouldn't be hired for sensitive jobs. I think that those safeguards are still in place, will still be in place, and so that just explains my vote.
Thank you. Anyone else, please? I'm sorry, I'm going to have to pass the gavel again. Since I voted Chairman Holloway.
Yeah.
I have the floor.
Yes, you can.
I feel a need to explain my vote yesterday, too, and had a discussion with Supervisor Bill. He's brought up a lot of good issues there, but it just comes in other issues we're going in front of the state with, and I think I have to look at prioritizing. I would like to split the amendment because I don't want to vote for something that substantially can discriminate, because what this bill is trying to do is take away safeguards or what most states have that doesn't allow, if it doesn't have anything to do with the job you're applying for, your conviction. So I really don't want to go that far. However, in heavy thought in this, and I'm going to the point of that I think we have a new human resources person coming in. I talked to the supervisor too, and I still feel this way, and very respectfully, that resolution goes too far, because it is kind of saying directly that we're going to have a mandatory process for conducting. We want to do this. We're kind of telling the department to do what to do before it comes back to personnel. I think it should go to Corporation Council. I think we want to look at the legality of this to make sure. This is I think it's been argued whether it's, something that I know that's important looking at. I don't think there's a data that supports this. I think it runs into other things that we're doing. I may be in the minority on that, of course, but that's the way I feel very respectfully. I just think, for the reasons we discussed a long time yesterday in committee and I discussed with you personally. So I would ask, please, that we can separate the amendment. We cannot separate the amendment.
Right.
Okay. Well, that makes it more difficult for me. I'm done, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Okay. I assume that we'll take the amendment up first. Okay. Does anyone need to hear the amendment again? Seeing none, call the roll, please.
On the motion to approve the amendment, Supervisor Schmidt.
Aye.
Rakowski.
No.
De Bruin.
Aye.
Broderick.
Aye.
Sanfilippo.
No.
Mr. Chairman.
Aye.
Motion approved on the amendment 4-2.
And now, as amended?
With approval as amended, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
As amended, Supervisor Schmidt.
No.
Borkowski.
No.
De Bruin.
Aye.
Broderick.
Aye.
Sanfilippo.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
As amended, 4-2.
Thank you. Supervisor Biddle, number 3 then.